So earlier when Phil Kagi was telling us about hanging out with Joel Walsh and they were going to be in a band together and da 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 da. I went right to this song.
Yeah.
I don't think Joe was part of this song at the time.
No, yeah.
Who he was?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I chose the song because it had the number 7 in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Seven.
Every song I looked is either cheesy or explicit for some reason. So, because it's 7 stories, so I thought 7.
That's good. I'm 7 Bridges Road.
Yeah, there you go.
By the Eagles. Mr. Brian McLaren is almost as cool as the Eagles. He's on the show with us again. BrianMcLaren.net. That is the website you need to go to. He's a best-selling author. He's a speaker. He's an activist. He's a theologian. He's a bald guy.
Yeah, baby.
And he is the author of Corey and the Seventh Story. I read this morning, and I think I learned more from reading this book about humanity. I was going to compare it to something else. I got nothing else to compare it to. This has been a timely... Oh, you know what? It was like walking the Camino for me. I liked humans more after I walked the Camino. I liked humans more after I read Brian McLaren's book.
Must be a powerful
Corey
book.
And the Seventh Story. Brian McLaren, what's up, dude? What's up, dude? Hey. Who starts an interview like that?
Drew Marshall.
Hey, Drew, you just made my day. That's really nice to hear about the book, and it's really nice to be compared to the Eagles. My goodness sakes. I'm sad to say that it's only more and more bald guys who will even know what that means. But anyway,
exactly. Yep, it is. Brian, how do you explain, like I had Matthew Paul Turner on earlier today, and he's got a children's book out called When I Pray for You. I think it's for younger kids, and I'm looking forward to reading that with my grandkids, reading it to them. But yours actually impacted me. So I've got so many questions, including, well, let's start with this one. How do you go from being sort of the original thorn in the side of the church, Brian McLaren, right? You were outrageous before, what was that guy's name?
It starts with
the hell, Rob Bell guy.
Yeah.
Like you were outrageous before Rob Bell even came onto the scene, right? So how do you go from being wise guy for Jesus to children's author? What's that all about?
Well, one of the things that happens is you have grandkids.
Yep.
Another thing that happens is that adults stop listening to you.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
You know, being from south of the border here, you know, watching the religious world sell its soul for a you know, small little bowl of political porridge, I think one of the things that's happened to me and a lot of people is you realize, you know, there's just a whole lot of older folks who aren't open to thinking any new thoughts. Things are going to have to get so much worse before they think any new thoughts. I think more and more of us are feeling we got to start talking to kids. We got to help the younger generation. So that was a big part of the inspiration. Realized that there are a number of illustrated books for kids that mean a whole lot to me still, you know, and so I the idea of a simple book with good illustrations that told a story that we felt needed to be told, that's what led to this book.
Nice. Well, let me read the pitch here. The story we tell people about the world shapes how we live. Along Corey's journey, readers will discover 6 familiar stories that have repeated throughout history, teaching us all how to dominate, fear, or withdraw from the world and the beautiful people in it. The good news is that there is another story, a path of open-heartedness towards others. Corey's discovery of the 7th story will inspire children and adults like Drew Marshall, or is he more like a child? It's a book aimed to help kids grow up resilient and full of wonder, and grown-ups can learn from it too. Use it to start a discussion with your kids about how we treat those who seem different from us, or open it with adults to revolutionize your own understanding of how the stories we're telling about the world lead to fear, aggression, and loneliness, and how we might tell a story that creates joy, connection, abundance, even in the midst of the most difficult times and places. One of the endorsements that you have is from President Donald Trump. I just want to read his endorsement of your book. I'm obviously kidding, but
my goodness.
But when I think of anybody who needs to read the book other than me, like I sometimes get a little impatient with humans, which is why I live now on a farm with no humans around me. I mean, Donald Trump, you know, that kind of Trumpism, that kind of what's another word for it, Tim? That's your world.
Fordism.
Would you stop it? He doesn't know what we're talking. He's talking about the mayor of.
The premier of Ontario.
Yeah. What is it?
It's a right thing. It's a far. I don't want to say far right or alt right. It's a definite form of conservatism that I don't think has anything to do with the conservatism that we associate with faith.
But it's otherism. It's them. It's themism. Yeah. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, you know, there's a Catholic theologian, philosopher named James Allison who says, give people an enemy and you give them a way to know who they are. And when we lose any story that gives us a healthy sense of identity, we need some story that involves an enemy so that we can, create a myth for ourselves to live in. And I think this is all just a sign of how the stories that so many of us have been living by have been failing us and aren't leading us in a healthy direction. And so I think part of the challenge is to try to help children become fluent in stories, to realize they're constantly being asked to be a character in the story that somebody else is setting up. And of course, if we help kids do that, we might help ourselves do it too.
So when you've written your other books, and we have you on the show to talk about your other books, we can dive into all these great conversations and nuances and outrageous themes and what Jesus may or may not think, et cetera, et cetera. But how do we get people to get a concise understanding of your book? Because as soon as you hear children's book, like a lot of people tune out. They go, oh, children's book. Well, that's not for me. I want to know what Brian McLaren has to say about Donald Trump, right?
Yeah.
But when it comes to giving people a picture for people about this book that you've written, what's the most concise way to get people to get it?
Yeah, well, I mean, the good news is you could read this book to a child in about 22 minutes. So, but if we wanted to go for 22 seconds, what I would say is, as I've gotten older, I've realized that there are only about six stories that describe every headline I read in the paper, or that describe the way I behave a whole lot of the time. Those six stories predictably lead to more conflict and more heartache and more sorrow. So I'm looking for, and more of us are looking for, a seventh and alternative story.
Hmm. Brian, I don't know if I want to do this because it sounds very NPR, what I'm about to do. Do you have the book near you?
I could grab it, sure.
Yeah, I want to do that whole, hey, would you read a segment from your own book thing? Can we do that, please?
I would love to do that.
Okay.
All
right. We should just dial the level down a little bit and just sound a little more NPR. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Drew Marshall Show.
Wait, don't tell me.
It's The Drew Marshall Show. And on the line with Brian McLaren, a close personal friend of Donald Trump's. We said no one ever on NPR. We're going to get him to read a segment of his new book. And the book is called Corey and the Seventh Story. And by the way, you want to go to theseventhstory.com. The seventh is spelled out. Theseventhstory.com, and that'll tell you everything you need to know about this book. Brian, are you queued up?
I'm ready. What would you like me to read?
Well, I was going to say that page 34, 35 that has all the sort of, you know, the point form stuff. That was the thing that drew my ADD attention. But I'm not sure if that's going to give the context or the flavor that we want. I just thought it was interesting, that page. And it may be different page numberings on the PDF than in the book you have in your hand. But do you know what I'm talking about?
Sure. The poem that the horse tells the village.
I don't know if it was a poem or not. To me, it looked like it was the stories, like it was all the points.
Okay. Yeah. Just to set this up, there's a mysterious visitor who comes to a village, and uh, the, the visitor is a horse, and this is a little summary of these stories that she had seen. So here, I'll just read these 2 pages. 6 old stories wherever I go. The same 6 stories are running the show. The story of power to dominate. The story of striking back with fury and hate. The story of running to find a safe place. Or pointing at others to shame and disgrace. Or being stuck in self-pity for the pain we've been through. Or of me having more shiny objects than you. These same 6 old stories steal freedom and laughter. So nobody lives happily ever after. But, so first began walking around the table as she continued her poem, her hooves clip-clopping to the rhythm of her words. There's a new 7th story to live by, my friends, a new 7th story without us against them, of working for fairness in all that we do, of refusing to strike back when others strike you, of facing our problems and not running to hide, of not letting differences make us divide, of turning our pain into compassion for others, of not wanting more than our sisters and brothers. The new 7th story that I'm speaking of is the story of peace and the hero of love.
Hmm. I'm sorry, dude, but that's the freaking Easter message.
I hope people could see that. I hope people could see that.
If there is a God, and if this Jesus has anything to do with this God, and if this God is love, and the way that a creator would try to communicate to its created about this thing called love, and it was done through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If that whole message is true, then what's the point of that message? And I would sum it up by saying the point of that message is what you just said there. It's about us looking at others, not as others.
Yeah. Looking at others as brothers, or looking at others as one another, seeing our relatedness. That's the thing that the first 6 stories that we're talking about have in common. They all have a versus, us, them, with a versus in between in one way or another. Us overcoming them, us getting revenge on them, us excluding them, us escaping from them, us competing, out-competing them, just stories that always put us and them in conflict. But more and more of us are seeking for a story that says, could we put us back together on the same team again? You know, could we find our meaning not through opposition to others, but through joining with others to solve problems that we all face, like a planet that's being exploited, and economic systems that keep redistributing wealth to the people who need it the least, and all that sort of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's a challenge. And it's interesting, you know, this being Easter weekend, if you just take that last week of in leading up to the Easter story, you see these stories swirling around. You see, for example, you know, the idea that you can crucify somebody, torture, humiliate, strip naked, make fun of, mock, and that if you could just kill somebody, then you solve all your problems. How many governments are running on that story right now, you know? The idea that what life is really about is just getting more stuff, that you'll do anything for 30 pieces of silver, you know? I mean, every dimension of all the drama is there in that last week between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday.
Wow. Man, what the hell what do you talk about now? Like, there's nothing else to talk about.
Yeah, that's about all you can talk about.
You know what? I'm going to end my show now instead of June 29th. That's it. We're done. Mic drop, Brian McLaren. That's it. Brian, this will be the last time that you will be on the show. That didn't sound very nice. This is the last time you'll be on the show.
We have ways of making you go away.
But before you go, I want to obviously say thank you. You have always been very accessible for me. And I think you've been accessible to others as well. People who have read your stuff are actually tracking with the journey that you've been on. And you are one of the most intuitive, how do I say this? You are an intuitive, sliver in the cross of Christ, because it feels like you were there. It feels like you get it. It feels like the pain and the agony that is behind the real journey of Christ, you have lived and breathed, and now you emote this irritatingly attractive warmth. Like, it is irritating, man. And you have just helped. You know, Phyllis Tickle talked about how the church has this great transformation every 500 years or so, and she felt before she died, she said, that we are in that time period right now. And one of the reasons I think she was right is because Brian McLaren came along. You have been a linchpin in the transformation of the church. There, that's all I have to say about that.
Well, listen, Drew, that is very sweet of you to say, and probably really, really overstated. But look, can I just say, since this will be the last time I get to be on your show, what a gift you have given to people with your honesty and your humor and your let's strip away all the BS. You know, I think about a friend of mine years ago who was the son of a very famous preacher. He said to me, I think every person at baptism should be given a state-of-the-art BS detector, because now that they're part of this religion, they're going to need it.
Exactly.
And you have, you've been, I guess, a key voice in the BS detector world. It's tremendously important.
Well, thanks, man. Thanks. Well, look, now that we've had that Mutual Admiration Society moment, yeah, just thank you, Brian. I look forward to seeing what comes out of your face next, because I don't think you've dropped anything that I've rolled my eyes at and gone, eh, wah, wah, that was a fail. It just hasn't happened. So I await your failure. At some point, it's got to happen, Brian McLaren.
Well, I suppose whether it's not happened already is a matter of opinion.
Okay, yeah, good.
I'll keep working at it, and probably it just means I haven't attempted anything audacious enough yet. But,
yeah, that's it. Brian McLaren hasn't been audacious. BrianMcLaren.net, that is the website, and of course the other website is the7thstory.com. Brian McLaren, best-selling author, speaker, activist, theologian, author of this latest book, Corey and the Seventh Story. Highly recommend this. This is a family table conversation book, no question. Brian, happy Easter.
Thank you, my friend. Same to you. Thanks for your good work on this show, and thanks for having me on again.
Thanks, man. You take care. Bye-bye. Brian McLaren on The Drew Marshall Show.